Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. And then all weekend long, you're going to get my NBA and NHL playoff picks and all my baseball snags Saturday and Sunday. And then you're going to see how many games I hit and how much fat stacks I make, everyone. And then you're going to be like, I'm so glad I signed up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's the best thing I've ever done. And it was easy and painless. I love Pharrell. That kind of thing. It's going to be like that kind of thing. All right, so CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Nate in Bakersfield. Cali, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey there, Scotty. Hey. First of all, I just want to say it was good to hear you on the Bubba Show the other morning. That was pretty hilarious.
I love. I gotta tell you, I just want to say, I stop everything for Bubba. I gotta tell you, I have never, and I don't know if I've already said this a bunch of times on the air, Mafia. I know I've told you this. There is no one that I like more than Bubba. He is.
Oh, that guy is hilarious. Him and Manson, they crack right. Me up. His impersonation of you is freaking dead.
I mean, listen, those guys are so funny that, I mean, they are so demented and so twisted and so funny that there has never been one time I've ever, and since I've known them, there's never been one time that I've turned them on or, you know, called in to do the show that I haven't sat there the entire time I was doing it, cracking up and laughing and tears coming out of my eyes. Those guys are the funniest dudes I've ever been around in radio. Like, there's a lot of really super talented people that do this for a living, and everyone, listen, everyone thinks they're wonderful. I don't think anything, but I know this. Those dudes, Bubba the Love Sponge and his crew, are the funniest dudes in radio that I've ever been around. Like, everything they do is so moronic and so stupid and funny that you just sit there and lose your mind laughing. Like, I sit there in amazement of how every time I turn it on, like when I'm even waiting to get on the air with them, I'm laughing at everything they do is so funny. Like talking about picking up chiclets and stuff, like these things I don't know about. I thought I was cool until... like some of the slang they use for chicks and everything else. It's so funny. I love those guys. Great show, great talent. It's the funniest radio show I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, they crack me up. And you crack me up too, though, most of the time too. But
I like doing it with them. I thought, listen, I'll say this. That was the worst mistake I ever saw in my entire radio career, to be honest with you, that they broke up Howard Stern, Bubba the Love Sponge, and Pharrell. That was the worst thing I've ever seen by radio executives. It was the worst decision I've ever seen in radio. I've seen a lot of bad moves by suits that think they're geniuses, and I continue to this day to see these brilliant people making mistakes left and right with talent. And I'll never forget that they broke up that lineup. That was the greatest trio of shows ever. On radio, and they screwed it up. They burned that bridge. Nice job, idiots.
Yeah, no, that was a killer lineup. But
they should have just kept it that way forever.
Yeah,
I would have never left.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either.
You think I'm kidding?
Oh no, I know you're for real.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing I've ever done. Every day of my life was spent laughing. I've never been happier. I'm just being honest, like. I went to work and laughed my ass off every day, and I was like, Mafia, you have to admit, it was the funniest thing you've ever seen. Like, when you came right out of college, and you're hanging around all these idiots that are making all this funny stuff happen around you, you must have been scared to death when you came in that door and started working with us, and then you're going, wait a minute, Everyone around me is an idiot. This is awesome. And then everyone was laughing all the time. I laughed so hard, I think I went to the bathroom in my pants a couple times.
Well, yeah, when I came out and started working with you, I mean, you're so different than everybody in the sports world. So even that at first, like, wow, this is crazy. This is awesome. You know, this guy's nuts. And then I would hear their show and be like, wow, these guys are even, you know, more insane. Like,
way more. Level.
It's like, you're one guy who's nuts. They'd have like four or five guys who are crazy together. It was like a nut house on radio. And it's so
and funny. Howard show. So it was just the craziest thing ever. It really was. It was the best 7 years of my life. I never laughed so hard. And, I'm just glad I'm friends with him. I've always admired Bubba and all those guys, Manson, 25, all of them. They're brilliant, brilliant guys.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And the second thing I want to talk about is I think the Cavs are done.
I don't think. Listen, that's you know, everything else you've said has been brilliant. That is crazy. You know what they did tonight? They blew that game is what they did. They had that game in the bag. You got to win that game. You got to finish. You got to – when you have a game by 17, by the throat, you got to win that game by 20. Like, you didn't see Washington mess around with that big lead tonight. The Cavs messed around and got burned. But there is no way, I believe, for 1 minute that the series is over. It's not over. They should have won the game. They didn't, but they should have won it. So I won't be surprised at all if Sunday they beat them in Indy. I mean, they had it. They blew it.
And why they didn't win is exactly what we've been talking about time after time when we've talked about this series and this team. His supporting cast disappeared. They're not consistent. Usually from game to game, they're not consistent. This one, they weren't even consistent from half to half. He comes out with all of them in the beginning. They're killing him by 17. He's dishing out. George has, you know, George Hill, I'm sorry, has big points. Kevin loves dunking the ball. He's scoring. Second half, no one scored except LeBron, really. They didn't score at all. We were sitting there listening on the drive-in. Clank after clank after clank until Kevin Love hit that three to get him within
two. Right, get him within one. Got him within one.
The rest of them were doing nothing. Then J.R. Smith with that shot at the end. When Clarkson's wide open at the three-point line, he chucks it from half court instead.
Yeah, listen, they blew the game. They should have won the game. Chris, you don't think they're done, do you? Like, seriously, because they lost that game tonight? You don't think they're going to bounce back and win that next game?
No, I think they'll still win this series, but the problem is you're not going to win the next series or the next one or the next one with LeBron playing hero ball for 48 minutes. It's not going to happen.
So who would they play next if they win this game or if they win this series? Figure that out and then get back with me. Carson in South Carolina.
Hey, Perel. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you too, brother. So they would play the winner of the Raptors and Wizards. Put it this way. I'll say this right now. If they play the Wizards, they'll win. If they play the Raptors, I have a hard time betting against Toronto in that series. But I'll say this. They've always found a way, Toronto, to lose. They always lose. So putting it in the bag like it's a done deal is a dangerous way to make a living. I don't believe I'll ever believe Toronto's going to win anything until they do it. I mean, we're always talking about what Toronto's going to do, and they never do it. Never. They have never, ever, even once done it. So I'm sick of hearing it. I don't believe anything in the Toronto Raptors until I see it. I mean, I just can't even bet on them.
After those first two games, like, wow, they finally shut up. We can finally believe in them because they did what they had to do in the playoffs. They won the game one. They, you know, just dominated them in both games up in Toronto. And then they go to Washington and get slapped around by a team that they just beaten
up. It's because that's who they are. You never can trust that team as far as you can spit. Carson, what did you want to say about college football?
Well, first of all, nothing's in the bag when you're talking about Clemson and college football. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on Clemson's chances. You know, their D-line's awesome. Defense is supposed to be great. Apparently Trevor Lawrence and Hunter Johnson are making a little push at quarterback. I've always respected your opinion on that.
Well, I respect what you're saying about your team and that they're doing all these things. That's great. I'm a little out of touch with Clemson football on April 20th. I'm not being mean when I say this. Like, spring football to me is a great time to take your wife out to dinner. I just don't care about spring football at all in any level. But I'm glad they're doing well, and they're always in it because they're loaded and they are just fat in depth and have one of the best college football programs in the country now. They're the best team in the ACC. You know, and then you got, like, the Miamis, right? I'm not even going to say Florida State as bad as they were. So Clemson's the real deal. They always are. They got a great coach. They got tons of great players, great recruiting. I mean, I say they just keep winning, and that's all there is to it. They'll either make the playoff or they won't, but they'll be right there, and I won't be surprised at all if they win the ACC and play in the ACC championship like they always do. No disrespect to you. I just, bro, I'm so deep into this NBA and Stanley Cup right now. Like, I can't go there. I just can't spend. Don't they have college football networks that do this, that talk about meaningless things? Don't they have, like, doesn't the SEC network do, a year-round boring shows about spring football games? I would rather pick my boogers than, honestly, would talk about spring football. I said this week, did I not? And don't even tell me I'm being mean either, Mafia. There is no one on the face of the earth besides my guy here that just called in that gives a rat's ass about anything that goes on in the spring. I can barely, get into baseball in April. It's so bad, the weather. And then every day I wake up this week, it's like 30 degrees outside, and it is no more spring than it is summer. Okay, it's freezing cold, it's winter, and I live in hell, I don't want to hear it, I don't know what spring means. Spring is for losers and idiots. Today is a holiday, smoke heavily, screw spring, and screw anyone that likes spring, including everyone in heaven and hell. Mafia, I mean, in terms of covering that guy's question, did you think in terms of like circling and, you know, getting it from all angles, front, sideways, and back. Do you think, and then returning to the front, do you think I got it?
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Thanks. I just wanted to say, how many cups of coffee have I had? Like five? Mavi, have you been dropping edibles in my coffee again?
No, I would not waste that on you.
Smart man. Alan in Pittsburgh on the fan.
Hey, Farrell.
Hey.
Great show, man.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, question, sir. Do you think the Pacers might be able to pull an upset and actually defeat Cavaliers in the series?
I still have my doubts. I think that, like I said, tonight, if you ask me, Cleveland blew the game. I won't deny Bogdanovich hitting all those threes, going off, your boy Bogey or whatever they call him. He was incredible. He had the game of his life. So they stole the game. They won. Great comeback. It's a huge win for the Pacers organization. Even bigger, I think, than game one, because that one they blew him out from start to finish. This one they came back from 17 down. I think the Cavs realize now they have a problem on their hands. And at the end of the day, I still think there's no one on that team that can guard LeBron James. And he would appear to me have to, at this point, take charge of this series by himself and no longer pass the ball to anyone and score every single basket. I think he's going to have to take over these next few games, and he's going to have to literally win the games by himself because nobody else seems to want to win it for Cleveland. So LeBron James is either going to do it by himself, which sounds crazy, but if anyone can do it, it would be him. I would not write off the LeBron James anything from any series until it's finally over and he's packing his glad bag, you know? I don't trust ever saying that LeBron James is finished when he plays. What has he been in? Seven? How many finals now? Seven straight finals? I mean, how can you bet against that guy and say that he's done just because he lost a game tonight by two? You know what I mean? They blew it. That was it. So
yeah, his team blew it, not him. He was in three still.
Yeah, I think he's still got a big game in him on Sunday. I'm guessing that game's Sunday. And we'll see what happens. Big win for the Pacers. They're up 2-1, but it's not over. They got to win four games, right? Unless I'm wrong. I mean, they got work to do, and I think LeBron has more work to do.
This is Farrell on the Bench.
All right, so Mafia, you haven't told me yet, and Chris, about your feelings, Mafia, first with the Matt Harvey. So I don't know if people realize this, but in New York, this guy, Matt Harvey, who they have dubbed erroneously over the last several years, the Dark Knight. And, he's literally got this image in this town. Not anymore, but he did, right, as the superhero. And he was this, like, nightlife guy. He was getting all the chicks. Remember, then he started not showing up for games. He's out at Liberty National getting hammered, allegedly. We all know the stories about him, right? And then this spring, he started pitching well in spring training, right? Everybody's talking about he looks fantastic. He's back. Their rotation's going to be sick. So then the season starts, and everything's coming up roses. They're winning every game. They're all pitching great. Their whole rotation's pitching great. They're killing everybody. They were like 13-2, right? And then now, this week, they started losing. And then in his last two starts, unless I'm mistaken, he has imploded. And last night he pitched again, and he gave up like 8 hits and 6 earned runs or something like that. So my question is, now they're saying his starting job is in jeopardy after his latest ugly outing, and also that he has added to the mix that he's not interested in going to the bullpen. He's a starter. And he flat out said it after the game. He's like, I'm a starter. That's it. No questions asked. I don't even want to talk about it. He goes, I pitch 6-7 innings every time I go out. And that's all there is to it. He goes, I don't pitch out of the bullpen. In his 4 starts, he's got a 6 ERA. And he's allowed at least 4 earned runs in each of his last 3 games. And he got through 3 more innings after he gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. But he's not the pitcher he was at the beginning of his career or before his Tommy John, right? So what do you think of your boy? Is he finished with the Mets?
Well, he's definitely finished with the Mets as far as, you know, after this year, he's gone one way or another. I don't think there's any way they re-sign him. I mean, the thing that they were hoping for most is that he had some kind of resurgence so they could trade him. So he had some value again and they could maybe get something in July, I think is what they were really thinking. I mean, some people thought that he was going to stick around, but I didn't think he was going to. And then he started out well that first game. He had 5 strong innings, no runs, you know, struck out a couple of guys. And like you said, ever since these 3 games, it's just fallen apart, gone right back to the Harvey that we've seen ever since he started getting hurt. And it's just not worth it. You know, you can't keep putting a guy out there that's going to give up a bunch of these runs. You're stressing out your bullpen. He's only pitching 5 or 6 innings. The most he's ever gone so far this season is 6 innings. And that was the game he just pitched where he gave up 6 runs and they still let him go on. Before that, it was just 5-inning outings. Then you got to have your bullpen come in and pitch 4 innings every time he starts. It's just too much strain on them. He's not helping you out enough and, you know, doing and he's not getting the quality start you need to give yourself a real shot. Either you got to, you know, give him a rest and see if he comes back after a week off and is better, or send him down, or the bullpen, you got to do something. You can't just keep plugging him in there and costing yourself.
Yeah, I don't see what point it is sending him down. They have Vargas working a rehab start this weekend. He'd be ready to return April 27th or 28th, and then they could skip Harvey or make a decision on him. His next time through the rotation, they could go Seth Lugo. There's all kinds of things, basically, frankly, that they could do. What do you think, Chris, that's going to happen to Matt Harvey?
Well, here's the problem. He has all of the ego from 2013 through 2015. He has half the talent. And the other half of that is that he has a great pitching coach in Dave Island who could really work with him. But it seems like he doesn't want to do it. It seems like he wants to go with what got him to this point, be the man, but he's just not the man anymore.
The back page of the Post and Daily News raking him today. They're just giving him the business. Guy's taking a beating. Eric in Pensacola, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on, Pharrell? How are you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I was wondering what you thought about these Sixers, man. Do you think they're the beast from the East now with all the points they're scoring? And now Embiid's back. And you know, I heard his statement last night. It's a rough and tumble series, so he wanted to get back in there and get into the fray. I was just wondering what you thought of.
Well, I think they're awesome, you know, the way they're playing. And, you know, this has been going on for 2 months. They started getting really hot, and they went into the playoffs hotter than any team in the league and playing great basketball. And, you know, it finally got stopped by Miami in game 2, but they blew them out by 20 in game 3 in Miami. So I thought, you know, the cream rose to the top. I just flat out think they're better than Miami. Although Miami's pretty scrappy, there's no doubt the Goran Dragic is he's incredible. The Dragon. All I know is they have guys on that team that'll bang and that'll get chippy and that'll fight and guys that'll thug out, Olenek, you name it. So I think there's a cause for, you know, that game tomorrow, I think it is tomorrow, is going to be very physical. I don't think Miami's going to let them win by 20. They're going to do something to stop that from happening, which is punch them in the mouth. I think that game is going to be very insane, this next game in Miami. There's no way they're getting blown out. I just don't see it. I thought, you know, Philly looked great in game three, and they proved, I think, that they're the better team. But they still have to worry about handling their business in this series before people start crowning them like you, champions already. Like, it's unbelievable to me how I get these phone calls every night of people that they play one or two games and they think they're winning championships. I mean, it's unbelievable. You win a game and you think the title's yours because what? You don't have to play all these seven-game series? I mean, this is a long way to go, and you've already got them champions, and I'm sure the Eagles are going to win five straight Super Bowls, and the Flyers are going to win three straight Stanley Cups. I mean, I don't know who's worse, these Philly or Boston fans. I really don't. I mean, honestly, I sit here, I want to punch myself in the mouth listening to you people. Honestly, are you listening to yourselves? My God, you just think everything's gift-wrapped and handed to you. You don't even have to play the Pharrellian games, for Christ's sakes. God almighty. Well, we looked great the other night. This thing's a done deal, right? We're the beast of the East. It's over. Put it in the bag. Done deal. Title. Title town. We're the best sports town.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, the NFL draft is almost here, and nobody covers it better than NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts April 26th on NFL Network and Fox. Tony Jones covers the Jazz and the NBA for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's getting ready for tomorrow night's game with the Jazz and Thunder in Salt Lake, and we thought we'd bring him on the bench to talk about it and how the series is going. Tony, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. How's everything?
It's great. Hey, so, you know, I love this team. I think they're fun to watch and, you know, come together. And everyone, I think, is starting to notice Mitchell. And we've seen this team before do things in Salt Lake the way they play at home. I expect them to handle their business in these games at home the way they have produced on their home floor. I mean, they've looked good everywhere, I think, let alone the way they play in their own building.
You know what the funny thing is and the ironic thing is they're usually a great home team, and they haven't been great this year. Like, they've been good at home, but they haven't been great. So, you know, that leads me to believe that I think, you know, I think the series is going seven, because if I had to guess what happens this weekend, I would think a split happens. You know, but for some reason, especially in the second half of the season, the Jazz have actually been a better team on the road than they have been at Vivint Smart Home Arena. That being said, it's going to be a loud, raucous atmosphere. I experienced the playoffs there last year for the first time, and it's one of the best basketball atmospheres that I've ever been in. So it's going to be crazy, but we'll see if the Jazz can actually start playing better at home than they have been in the second half of the regular season.
What do you think of the job Mitchell's done in those first couple of games? He's been amazing.
Yeah, he has been. And obviously, you know, the stats speak for themselves, the 55 points in two games. But, you know, it's the way that he was able to take over game two. I mean, he essentially scored 20 points in the last minute of the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, he had about 8 points with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter and just took the game over. And he did it with the majority of the time, Paul George guarding him. And Paul George, by my estimation, is one of the best three or four perimeter defenders in the league. But Donovan, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I hate to compare him to somebody so legendary, but, I mean, he has a Kobe Bryant mentality. He's going to go at you no matter who you are, what kind of reputation you have, how good you are. It doesn't matter to him. He's going to go at you for 48 minutes, and that's what he's done in these two games against the Thunder. The difference, you know, in game one and game two is his teammates played much better in game two than they did in game one. And he was able to close Oklahoma City out essentially by himself on the road.
So how's his foot after he got it jacked in game one? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. It was painful for him at first. The first 24 hours were really painful for him. But, you know, I think the spread out first round schedule worked in the Jazz's favor here. The Jazz had two days of rest in between games one and game two instead of the customary, you know, what you usually see, the one day of rest. So I think that that helped tremendously, that second day of treatment. And, you know, I thought he wasn't as explosive early in game two, especially he had a breakaway, which he'd usually wind up and throw down a thunderous dunk, but he just laid it up. But he got more explosive as the game went on. And I attribute that to adrenaline and just simply not thinking about it. And I thought that he was much more able to get by people in the second half and in the fourth quarter. So I think he's okay, and the Jazz have officially listed him as probable for tomorrow night, but there's no question that he's going to play.
And can he handle Tony Jones with us from the Salt Lake trip? Can he handle all these minutes, this burn he's playing? He played like 43 minutes the other night. He's just like, he's like the nonstop. This guy's just going at it end to end.
Yeah, you know, he it was funny because, you know, when Quinn Snyder, you know, essentially played him the entire second half, he played him, you know, to get him on the floor with the Jazz second unit, which had kind of been outplayed in the first two games. But, you know, he's played, you know, 33, 34 minutes during the regular season, and especially with the 2 days off, and I think he's going to be fine playing 40-plus minutes. I think that becomes more of a question later in the series when you get to games five, game six, and game seven, when you're playing every other day.
So tell me about, like, because I thought one of the most important thing I saw from that team, believe it or not, in OKC was in that second game, was what Rudy and Derek were doing on the glass in that game. Oh, my God. I mean, they just absolutely, the two of them went off. They got every single rebound, and I just don't see how you can lose a game, actually, when you've got guys boxing out like that and getting all those rips.
Well, the one of the adjustments that Quinn Snyder made in game two was he kept Favors out there for heavy minutes, and he kept Favors and Gobert out there together. And he said, okay, we're not going to go small to try to match up with Carmelo Anthony at power forward. We're going to stay big, and if Carmelo Anthony goes for 30 on us, that means that Paul George doesn't have the basketball, and that means that Russell Westbrook doesn't have the basketball. So I think that it was a great calculation by Snyder, and Derek Favors, he played the game of his life. He had 20 points. He had 16 rebounds. He was, as you said, he was a monster on the glass, particularly the offensive glass. He even hit 2 3-pointers, and Derek Favors is about a 22% three-point shooter. So, you know, he really essentially gave the Jazz the best of both worlds. You know, they were able to stay big, and he was still able to stretch the floor, even though I don't know how sustainable Derek Favors shooting 2 for 3 from three-point range would ever be.
Yeah, that's scary when he pulls up from three, but whatever, two of them fell. I thought, yeah, you mentioned his offensive work on the boards. You get a guy getting that kind of productivity at that end of the floor and getting 8 of those second chances and getting rebounds like that, it's a good thing. Tell me what the Tony Jones with us from the Salt Lake trip. Do you feel that Rubio, because I like his game, I still like watching him play and dish it. I thought he looked good in the game. He was nailing threes left and right. And you know, he had like, I don't know, whatever it was. He might have had double figs and dimes. But he was, you know, doing his thing. My question to you is like, because I don't know the ins and outs of the Jazz. Do they like him? Like, do his teammates like him? Do they, what's the story on him playing there? Do they dig him?
He's been a lot better in the second half of the season than he has in the first half of the season. In the first half of the season, I thought, you know, this is not working. You know, he wasn't shooting the ball well. But more concerning was he was turning the basketball over. He wasn't getting the Jazz into their offense. And they were essentially, you know, better with him off the floor in large spurts. And then for some reason, I mean, the switch just flipped. For as bad as he was in the first half of the season, that's how good he's been in the second half of the season. You know, he figured out, you know, I've asked him, you know, why has he gotten better? You know, he said he's figured out his teammates. He's figured out where Rudy Gobert likes the basketball. He's figured out where Donovan Mitchell likes the basketball, where Joe Ingles likes the basketball. And he's started to make better reads, and he started to make shots. And he's worked with Jazz assistant Igor Kokoskov, you know, on development. And the Jazz have empowered Ricky Rubio, where Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota told Rubio, listen, just go out there, run my offense, don't turn the basketball over, get in transition, never take a shot outside of the paint. The Jazz have said, okay, if you are open from three-point range, for our offense to work, you have to shoot the basketball and you have to make shots. You know, so when you're a basketball player and you have the confidence of your head coach, it just makes all of the difference in the world. And the Jazz have empowered Ricky Rubio to shoot the basketball, make or miss. And I think that it's done a world of good for his game overall.
So do you think, Tony, that something's wrong with Joe's game? Ingles, he's like game one, I thought it was more like him. Game two, I thought he was terrible.
Well, there's nothing wrong with him per se. The problem is he's being guarded by Paul George. And you know, when Paul George is guarding you and is draped all over you, it's going to be difficult. Paul's done a terrific job of not letting Ingles get the Jazz into their pick and roll. A huge part of their offense is the Ingles-Rudy Gobert pick and roll. And Joe Ingles has averaged over six assists a game in the month of March, and he's averaged over seven assists a game in the month of April, and he had one assist in game one, and he wasn't much better in game two. So Paul George has completely taken Joe out of the series so far. Now that being said, Joe on the defensive end was sensational. In game two, he held Paul George to 6-21 from the field, and he was a plus 21, which was the best net rating on the team. So offensively, it's going to be tough for him because he's going to have Paul George on him for much of the series, unless Paul George switches on to Mitchell in the first three quarters in game three. But if he can't get going and get that pick and roll going, it definitely affects the Jazz offense overall.
What do you think? Tony Jones covers the Jazz and the NBA for the Salt Lake Trib. Great paper. Do you think, Quinn, do you like him as a coach? Do you like watching him, what he's doing with the Jazz? Do they like him a lot?
Well, I think he's one of the top five coaches in the league. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the coaches, I think you look at, obviously, Greg Popovich. You look at Brad Stevens, you look at Rick Carlisle down in Dallas, although Dallas is struggling. He's up there with those guys. I mean, he's a master tactician in terms of in-game preparation. He's really good at making adjustments. He was good in the series last year against the Los Angeles Clippers. There wasn't much he could do against Golden State. And he's, you know, I think the Jazz staff collectively is one of the best player development staffs that I've seen. So, you know, he's a guy that I think that Dennis Lindsay hit a home run with that pick, and I think he's a guy who should be on the short list for NBA Coach of the Year.
I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see more of this series. Thunder Jazz, 10 East tomorrow night, Game 3 in Salt Lake Shakers. Tony, my man, thanks a lot for giving us the skinny on the Jazz. Looking forward to seeing the game tomorrow night. Have fun.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
My man, Tony Jones with the Salt Lake Trib with us tonight. So, Mafia, do you like the Jazz or the Thunder tomorrow night in Game 3?
I like the Jazz tomorrow night. I think coming home for that first game, they're going to be hyped. They're going to be pumped. Coming off that win, they're going to be, you know, ready to go. If Oklahoma's going to steal a game, I think it's going to be in the second one. I think tomorrow night, the Jazz are going to be too ready, and you're going to take that and go up 2-1.
So now I'm finally seeing Aaron Rodgers talking with Danica Patrick at the Bucks game. She didn't look too excited a minute ago watching the game. Then again, who could be excited watching this game? 113-87, Milwaukee leading Boston, just under a minute and a half left. Who do you like, Chris, in that Thunder Jazz game tomorrow night?
I'm going to take the Thunder just because I think...
Thunder on the road.
Yeah, just because of the over the course of the series, I don't think the Jazz have enough weapons to match the Thunder, because I think George, Anthony, Westbrook, they're going to have a couple games in this series where they're going to all be on fire.
So you're a buyer in Melo still?
For a game or two in the series, not over the course of the entire playoffs, but against a team like the Jazz, not great team, I'll take him.
Mafia, real quickly, do you think Aaron Rodgers is asking to call plays for the Bucks in the remaining minute of this game? It looks as though he wants power and the ability to call plays.
No, I think he's just enjoying it with Danica.
There you go. Do you think they'll smoke after the game on 420, the two of them on their way home in their Uber ride?
Not unless it's already been tested.
That's true. Let's go to the Billy Idol Hour of Love.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.